Let's get a bit more substance on this now. Lara Greaves, political commentator, is with us. Kia ora, good morning to you.
Morena.
How do you see this shaping up? We've got three names, I guess, really. Simon Bridges and Chris Luxon seem to be the main billing, and then Mark Mitchell again has put his name forward. Who do you see as the front runner?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about Luxon being the front runner, but I think one thing that I definitely want to reinforce is the fact that he has been in Parliament for a year. It's been a really strange Parliament as well, so he's not been here because of the various lockdowns. Like, it's not politics as usual, and politics will get back to some kind of new normal soon. So the other thing in that is that he's going to be up against David Seymour. So David Seymour has become this de facto leader of the opposition, and everyone left and right seems to give some kind of kudos to David Seymour about being a very skilled politician, very tactful, and he's had 7 years in Parliament now and been in politics for his whole life. Similarly, Ardern has been in politics now for 13 years and been around it her whole life. So you're coming up against these two leaders that are popular, likeable in the polls, that have a brand and identity already, and that's a really difficult place to be in.
It is, but ultimately it's the public who decide at elections. And do you think the public really care if you know all the standing orders back to front and you've been around a long time? I mean, I don't want to draw Trump comparisons, but, you know, we've seen many countries where someone who hasn't spent their life around politics is as seen as the electorate as that can actually be seen as an advantage.
Yeah, and I'd say that that's a different rule for a man as well. So when we saw with Ardern, everyone was like, she's very inexperienced to lead. But Luxon's not for some reason, and that we have to really put that down to gender. But ultimately, it's basically one of the really positives of Luxon is that national through and through, whenever we survey people, the election study, vote compass, all of those things, people view National as good at the economy and economic recovery. And what people seem to be perceiving is that maybe the country's heading in a different direction economically than what they want. We're seeing a lot of disquiet among small business owners. So people see National as owning the economy. And I think the real strength of Luxon is with this brand association with Air New Zealand and his sort of economic sort of nous and views of his economic abilities will be a real strength for National and where they could potentially challenge Labor going forward. We've seen this kind of data from Talbot Mills and the latest book from Professor Stephen Levine on the last election.
Yeah, and Jacinda Ardern herself appointed him head of, I think they called it a business council, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a few years back now when they were, you know, wanting to engage more with the business world. So she appointed him head of that, right?
Well, he seems to be more of a centrist figure in all of this as well. So it does seem as though he would be a John Key-like figure, a logical choice. It's not clear whether the general public, again, that whole idea that maybe they don't need a new John Key, they need a new whatever first new modern leader looks like for the current decade, perhaps. But it is a case where he does seem like a safe choice, albeit very inexperienced.
And Simon Bridges, I mean, we haven't seen that a leader come back after being demoted in New Zealand. It's not really something that parties have entertained. What do you think he would bring if he were to come back?
Now, we've seen him craft a narrative. So we've seen him be ousted, craft a narrative of renewal, of him owning himself and his own identity in his book, for example, owning his dorkiness, which is like one of those things that I think is one of the markers of New Zealand politics and our distinct political culture, is around the ability to kind of take the piss or like make fun of yourself. And he's now embodying that more. We saw with the yak meme and that sort of thing. So he's going through this process of renewal, and to some extent the Jackie Dean comments do feed into this whole idea that he's going through this renewal and he is now a new person. We haven't really seen this, so that will be a really interesting and, again, another unprecedented thing to see what will happen there. But ultimately as well, it does come down to who wants the job, and this will be Simon Bridges' last shot at Prime Minister, whereas for someone like Luxon or even someone like Shane Retty, it's not their only shot.
How much of an existential crisis is National in? I mean, this idea that's starting to be talked about that, you know, that you could be seeing the demise of the National Party after many, many decades, especially under threat from ACT. Do you take that seriously?
There are two things here. I personally didn't take it seriously, but I had a lot of grad students argue with me that these are unprecedented times. Mm. You don't actually know. Like, we make all these predictions that, like, there's never going to be a single-party majority government, and then there was. So this is always that thing where it's really hard for any of us to really make predictions. We can do our best based on data, and basically all of our sort of priors or data would lead us to believe that this is that part, that process of renewal, that cycle where the party has to go down. A popular leader leaves a vacuum, got to figure out what the party looks like in terms of their identity, figure out who the leadership's going to be, and then they go through this process of renewal and suddenly they appear again, got the polls, and then there's a tight election or they win. Like, that seems to be the process in New Zealand politics. However, again, we're unprecedented times. We've seen that David Seymour is doing well, leading ACT, and that ACT are up in the polls. So it's really tricky to make a prediction there. I think generally, though, it's probably that process of renewal.
Mm. Going to put you on the spot to finish. Who do you think would be the leader who would do national best at the 23 election?
I have a very soft spot for Dr. Shane Nerti. He's incredibly experienced. He's been in Parliament for 7 years. He's been an assistant professor at Harvard, which is incredibly competitive and hard. He's been a rural GP for 17 years. He's been literally vaccinating people up north. He's also somehow registered as some kind of chartered accountant. So we've got like a ton of qualifications and experience. I think fundamentally our politics and the way that our politics run, and this goes back to Professor Raymond Miller's idea of the presidentialization of New Zealand politics, that we think of it as like a two-horse race. We need this kind of bolshy, strong, assertive leader. And so that is where Dr. Shane Nerti, despite having all of these qualifications, links to Māori communities, being, and I think a real streak of conservatism, of one reading of conservatism, is being very community-based and doing good things for the community. I mean, he's got a Queen's Service Medal. He's been in communities. So I think fundamentally the way that our politics works, the most qualified candidate and the candidate with the expertise for the current crisis is being overlooked.
Interesting. Thanks for your time. Really enjoyed your insight there, Lara Greaves.